Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone, and welcome to Grace Nurture. I am your host, Danielle. Thank you all so much for tuning in on today. If it is your first time being here with us, we welcome you and invite you to continue joining us Monday through Friday at 7 a.m. We also ask that you invite others to join the call as well. A words of encouragement for today will be presented by Brother Ben Griffin, and his message is entitled, Old News, But Good News to Tell, and it comes from 2 Kings chapter 7, verses 1 through 9. I strongly encourage you to stop whatever it is you are doing, to find yourself a quiet corner, and prepare to listen to the words God has placed upon his heart to share with us all on today. Immediately following the words of encouragement, he will close us out with a word of prayer. Brother Griffin, you are on the air.
Good morning, Sister Danielle, and thank you, and Grace Nurture, and Grace View, and all the listeners on this Thursday morning. And certainly it's a day the Lord has made. We want to start off rejoicing and being glad in it by sharing old news but good news to tell. You know, people love to tell good news, and some people like to tell bad news. But today I want to address a topic entitled Old News but Good News. You know, even old news is good to tell. Sometimes I've heard that before, but that sounds good, so tell it again. Well, that's how the gospel is. And that's what good news is when it comes from the Bible. Gospel is the good news. You see this word about 100 times in the Bible and about 19 times in the 27 books of the New Testament, this phrase good news. Well, we're most familiar with it when we talk about Romans 1:16. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ or the good news of Christ, for it is the power of God and salvation, everyone that believes, the Jews first and also to the Greeks. But also we see it in Luke chapter 4 and the verse 18, where it talks about that Christ prepared to teach the good news of the gospel to the poor, as we read that dialogue in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Paul said, I delivered unto you that first, I would also receive how that Christ died for our sins, according to the scripture, how that he died and buried, and was the third day according to the scripture. He refers to these episodes of death, burial, and resurrection of Christ as the good news. And certainly it is the good news. And no doubt the Lord said that in Luke chapter 4, verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted and preach deliverance to the captives and recovering sight to the blind and setting at liberty them that are bruised. I know that was good news to them, and it ought to be good news to us today when we realize that people are being saved. But sometimes it's not only from sin, but also being saved from starvation. And this is the background of our lesson this morning. It was being saved from starvation. But people today are spiritually starved, and we wanted them to be saved from being spiritually starved as well. But in 2 Kings, there's a lot to cover this morning. I do my best to keep it down to what we're supposed to. But in 2 Kings chapter 7, is a continuing of what conversation started in 2 Kings chapter 6. And so I'll back up a little bit and bring that up. And see, here's the whole issue with that. God's people were being starved out. And what it was, being Hadad, the king, had been caused a siege to occur where he boxed in the people of God of Samaria, and they couldn't get out of their fort or get out of their hiding place. It was kind of boxed in, and all the Ben-Hadad's armies had surrounded Samaria, and they couldn't get in or out, and people were starving to death. And terrible things were transpiring, and they were transpiring inside. They were so hungry that day, they were selling donkey heads, you know, for a very high price. Or they were selling dove of dung, or manure, we would call it, for a certain price. Not saying what they're doing with the dung of the pigeon or the dove. Some say it's used for fire. Some say it's used for other reasons, but the donkey was an unclean animal. But yet, there was no food, no provisions, nothing come in or out. But the matter got worse, wherein the king of Israel was walking going around the walls of the city and just checking on his people and just inquiring to them, asking them how things going, how you're making it, you know, because they were under siege. No one could go in, no one could go out. It's kind of like COVID. Had us pinned in, couldn't go to work, couldn't go to play, couldn't go anywhere, just stay in. And so we're pinned in and no way to get out, get any food, can't go to work, no job. Kind of similar to what COVID done, but I think this case here is much worse than even COVID. And so he was walking around one day and the lady came to him and wanted to ask him a question. He just kind of frantic. What does she want? He thought she was probably begging for food. He's been a king of royalty, feel that the royal king has some extra provision to wear, and he would share with them, share with her. But her concern wasn't that. She wanted his judgment on a situation that she was dealing with. Is that it got so terrible, is that she agreed with another woman to boil or cook or kill their babies and would eat them. Pretty gross. And she did it. And the woman agreed to do it with her child the next day. But the other woman hid her child and wouldn't do it. And so this upset the woman, so she took the matter to the king. And the king, after he heard her story, see, we just don't know how bad other person's stories are. So the king heard her story, and he was so terrified or so blown back by it. The Bible says he rent his clothes because he couldn't stand the information she was sharing with him. And so he got so infuriated, he rent his clothes, and he blamed God's man. He blamed Elisha. And he sent one of his men to take the head of Elisha. Elisha was a prophet of God, and he should have known better. He should have told us about this. He brought God's condemnation on top of us, upon us, and so he was mad. And so fast forward the lesson, the text, and so he sent the man to get Elijah's head, and he had to change the heart before the man did it. We pick this up in verse 1 in Elijah chapter 7. So Elijah replied to the persons who came to take do harm to him. He said, hear the words of the Lord. This is what the Lord says. About this time tomorrow, a shear of the finest flour will sell for a sickle and 2 shears of barley for a shekel at the gate of Samaria. Very cheap, very inexpensive. We call it pre-siege or pre-COVID. So the officer who was armed of the king was leaning, said to the man of God, look, even if the Lord should open the floodgates of the heavens, could this happen? So we have some doubt that this could happen. And Elijah's response was this, you will see it with your own eyes. And answered Elijah, but you will not eat any of it. Now, he said, by this time tomorrow, that's 24 hours, the problem that they was facing in Samaria will be gone. This good news coming from Elisha to the man of arms that belonged to the king. Good news. And so the story begins to unfold. It says, now there were 4 men with leprosy at the entrance of the gate. They said to each other, why stand here until we die? If we say we go into the city, the famine is there, and we'll die. And if we stay here, we will die. So they're there to a point where no matter what happened, we're dead. And so they decided to do this. Let's go to the camp of the Armenians and surrender. If they spare us, fine. If they don't, we're going to die anyway. But before they got there, God did a great miracle. God made a sound as Russian chariots and large armies, and all the Armenians, they just fled their camp, and he left everything, their intact food, money, weaponry, everything. They left everything. He jumped up and just ran. And so now, so when the lepers got there, the camp was empty. Then the men who had leprosy reached the edge of the camp and entered into the tents and ate and drank, and they took silver, gold, and coal, and went off and hid them, and came back, and they got more stuff. But then here's a turning point. Then they said to each other, what are we doing is not right. This is a day of good news, and we are keeping it to ourselves. If we wait until daylight, punishment will overtake us. Let's go at once and report this to the royal family. See, they realize, even though they're lepers, and they may have been maltreated by everybody else, but now they came across something great from God, and it will be good news for them to tell others that their provision says to all those others in Samaria who were starving due to no food or more provisions, they didn't keep this good news to themselves. They went and shared it, that the camp is empty, there's enough food for everyone, come and eat. Now, here we want to make a point here is this, is that sometimes the good news is rejected. And we know when Elijah told the man that was going to happen 24 hours later, it happened. And he rejected it. And even when this man went back to be king of Samaria and told him the good news, he didn't believe it either. He said, no, this is a trick. The enemy forces are trying to draw us out and going to kill my whole colony. And so somebody said, no, let's go look and see just to make certain. And so they sent an advanced party out there to take a look. And sure enough, the lepers were telling the truth. And as a result of this, Samaria was spared. Now, this reminds me of something in the New Testament about the woman who was at the tomb. She was told by Jesus to go take the good news. And their men wouldn't believe her. They had to send other men to validate her story, and they did. And it was true. He had risen. We find that in Luke chapter 11, verse 17, when Jesus healed the 10 lepers, they all run off. One came back, and the Bible said one was a Samaritan. Here it is, a city of Samaria is under siege. These Samaritan lepers going out, found this food. They come back with the good news to help other people. We find that the woman was rejected. Good news. We find that here it is, these lepers here, they're bearing good news. Here it's rejected. So there are times that good news will be rejected. But the problem is that we must bear the good news. Someone brought the good news to you and I. There may have been a time when we rejected it, but eventually we came around and received it. See, this good news here satisfied their physical need. They no longer were starving physically. But the good news today will save people from starving spiritually. And you and I on this call, we have the good news. What are we going to do with it? You know, as the lepers said to each other, what are we doing is not right. This is a day of good news, and we are keeping it to ourselves. If we wait until daylight, punishment will overtake us. Let's go at once, urgency, and report or tell this to the world. Let us go share the good news of the gospel of Christ today. On your job, a family member, make a phone call, send a text, Facebook, whatever you need to do, tell someone today about Jesus, the good news, the salvation has been brought down. May God bless you and may he keep you as our lesson on today. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for being such a delightful Father of all living. We pray and hope that these lessons, even though time don't permit us to unfold them as we like to as men of God, but we hope and trust that the little tidbits we share, this good news will enlighten and touch the heart of those who are listening. Let them realize that God has blessed them such a mighty way, and now it's time for them to bless someone with the word of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. God, be with us, guide us, and protect us throughout this day. This will be our prayer in your Son Christ's name we do pray. Amen.